Welcome back to Let's Talk Sis. This is your girl Tamika. I'm here with two of my favorite people in the past couple of months. Go ahead and introduce yourself to them.
Hello, my name is Shayna Harris, and this is my husband.
How y'all doing, man? I'm Kenneth Harris. How y'all doing?
Tell us about yourself. Like, what do y'all do? What is Shaken Enterprise about?
Wow. You want to go?
So, Shaken Enterprise came off a play of our names, and one thing about us and our union is that we wanted to build a legacy for our family, and so that's where Shaken Enterprise pretty much came about, birth, and from Shaken Enterprise, we DBA'd a lot of different businesses. My husband is into the auto business, cars. We do a lot of different things. Right now we're in the process of giving back to the community by opening a group home for disabilities, for adults and children. So we're really excited about that part of the business. And yeah, right now though, we're working like any individual. You know, I work for AT&T Corporate America. God willing, I'll be out of there real soon.
Quick, fast, and
about
in a
three,
hurry.
six months. So yeah, but my husband, he's a full-blown entrepreneur, make it happen every single day, and we got a lot of kids, about six, seven of them.
I'm gonna say six or seven.
It's like a space thing. We got six and a couple.
Sometimes y'all have six, and then sometimes six, seven.
I wish I was playing, but it's about six, seven.
When you grown and you act a fool, you get cut off.
Let's put it like that. Oh, depends. I understand. Depends. I got some of them. I'll be like, okay, now today we not talking.
Right.
Matter of fact, don't talk to me for the next couple months, right? So I think we were talking about that one day. You had called me, and I was yelling at my, well, I was, yeah, he was getting yelled at. But that was my 28-year-old. They get cut off sometimes. So I'm going to start saying that. You know, I got about,
when they feel a little froggy, go ahead and let them frog on out.
Mm-hmm. So I wanted to talk to y'all a little bit today about networking in the Black community. And here's what I really want to know. What is the issue between Black men and Black females, and why we can't get it together? That's something that we're going to talk about. So first I want to check in. COVID, I don't know if we're at the end stages of COVID or if we're
What's that?
Don't even listen.
I don't subscribe to that channel.
I'm so tired of talking about COVID, but it is real, you know, and stuff is happening. I think I'm good. You know, I've been out in these streets lately. You know, at first it felt, when COVID started, it felt weird out there. Now it just feel like we just going back to normal. I just need them to open up all the stuff.
Man, I'm so with you on that. I will say though, when COVID first launched, I think it happened prior to when
she
it
said
was,
launched.
Yeah, because it's a launch.
It's a launch,
like across the world. You know right. what I mean? It was a big deal, but when I think it started in November, to be honest with you, but it was like made known to everybody in March.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And for me, it was a little bit scary because I just came out of a surgery, so I was like, hold on, wait a minute. But you know, with God's grace, knock on wood, me and my family, we've been great. You know, we just been washing our hands, wearing our face masks when we're out. We still took many family vacations. And
I sure took advantage of them cheap vacations that was going on.
Yeah, exactly.
They went back. I'm going to my mom to North Carolina at the end of June, and I'm like, what a tick the tickets! I was enjoying them $100 round trip tickets.
Oh yeah,
they back to where, and I feel like they're gonna be even more expensive just because a lot of people are still not traveling. They got to reap some of their, you know, their revenue back.
Yeah.
So. You don't even want to talk about COVID. He over there looking like...
I'm just on a different channel with it, man. Being an entrepreneur, I'm an opportunist as well, right? So mm-hmm. I looked at the whole situation. When the world shut down, I decided how to really hustle.
Right.
So some of my biggest opportunities and advantages came when everybody else was in a pandemic.
So I do training, and so a lot of people was too scared to go out and touch people and train. So I was like, I don't care. I don't know what y'all did, but I came up. right?
Yeah.
And even opportunists in with anything, being an entrepreneur, so I share that too. I'm a full-blown entrepreneur. I don't get an income from anywhere else but the businesses that I do. And so it's always a hustle, though. It's always looking at what can, if I can insert myself in where I see there's a gap or a problem, you know, or... Yeah, a gap or a problem or somewhere that you could go. Like, you'd sell cars. We all need some cars.
Man.
I need you to sell them, though.
See, it depends, man. You got to be ready for what you ask for. That's what I tell everybody.
That's true. And, you know, a lot of people would rather go and get something financed. Mm-mm. Right. And so, listen, you guys all know me. If you've been listening to my podcast, y'all know I'm about the Black community and how we can be better in the community.
Yes.
And we just don't do our financials right.
Mm.
Why am I going to go buy a car that costs $30,000? Then I have a high interest rate because my credit is messed up typically. And then by the time that's over, I'm going to pay $60,000 or more.
Mm-hmm.
For this car that depreciated as soon as I left the lot.
Say it again.
So I don't get, I always tell people that it's been, I don't usually get cars that you have to have payments on because it doesn't really make any sense financially. So that'll be something else. I have a movement called Let's Go Sis, and I teach about those things. And so lately I think we got to start talking about credit and wealth. You talked about building a legacy. We can't build a legacy with no money.
100%. And that's something that me and my husband talk about quite often, honestly. And that's something that we offer too. Like, my husband offers services where he coach individuals and he let them know how to get their credit right and how to manage and budget their money and their finances and, you know, get them on a path to be entrepreneurs. And, you know, self-sufficiency is very important. And so I think as a Black community, we need to have that mindset and head in that direction. So it's very important.
Speaking of mindsets, okay, listen. Do you know how often that I argue with Black folk about stuff they think they know but don't know, right? So it's hard to change a mindset that was instilled in us from slavery.
Mm.
But I'm committed to, we talk about this a lot. I'm committed to doing it, but I get tired, not tired, tired, right? I get tired because I'm like, I just had a conversation yesterday and this is why it's on my mind. And this person was going so hard. I was talking about trauma, right? Now this is a person that's in trauma that hasn't dealt with trauma, like as far as healed. And then is telling me that I don't know what I'm talking about. And my whole career has been dealing with people with trauma. My career, not my job.
Mm-hmm.
My career has been. So, but I see that every time that I talk about something. If we're talking about finances, we think we got our finances right, but we don't own something. We think we understand how to go through these jobs, but we don't even, or have a job. But we're supposed to be not just having a job, but how do we create a legacy? And the person that's getting wealthy is the person that gave us the job.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
How do we do that? And why do we argue about it so much?
Well, I want to dissect a couple of things you said. The first thing is that I think we as a people have to understand if we're trying to help, we have to understand what help really is.
Mm-hmm.
Help is not changing somebody.
No.
Sometimes help is being an example.
Uh-huh.
One of my mentors, Jay-Z, Sean Carter, I'm sorry, He had a line. He said, "I can't help the hood if I'm one of them."
If I'm one of them, you got to come up out of there.
And what happens, and that mentality is not separating yourself from the people who need the assistance, but it's uplifting yourself above the mindset, the thoughts, the concept, and helping them by being an example.
Right.
Some people, you can't help them standing next to them.
Exactly.
Because they're sizing you up.
Especially if you're not doing what you said.
It's not that.
It is that too.
Well, it's that as well, but it's they're sizing you up.
I get
it. If you're standing right next to me, that means that knowledge that you're passing is not valid because how come you aren't doing it?
That's exactly what I just said.
Yeah.
Exactly what I just said. Right? So I think that we have to understand. I love Jay-Z, first of all. I don't know, like, I wasn't too much on his music, but listening to and watching him in business, I remember they did, like, Behind the Music or something about Jay-Z, and they was talking all kind of mess because they said he sold out. No, what he did was leveled up.
Yes.
What he did was leveled up. They said, well, he saw opportunity, and he leveled up. And Kano, I be telling people, y'all pockets ain't even deep enough to size him up. How about that?
And not only is he leveling up, but he's bringing people up with him. Like, with that tie-down, everybody got a check.
Right.
All those artists, like, he's not only helping himself, but he's helping the whole culture, the communities. Like, what is that, the Barclays Center in New York?
Barclays.
Barclays, right in the middle of the hood.
Yeah.
He brought so much, you know, inspiration, jobs, just everything right there.
Go ahead.
I'll say another thing, just to add to the point. It's hard, right?
It's very hard.
It's hard not having a mind of poverty and being in an impoverished situation.
Yes,
because
you
got to deal with the people down you. You know, yeah. I'm from, you know, right side outside of Chicago, and, you know, growing up, I always had dreams of doing a lot of the things I'm doing today. And being in a community of people who don't understand your vision, they sometimes look at you sideways. They don't believe you. The second that you fail, they wait for it to happen instead of, you know, congratulating and pushing you. So I think part of success is understanding that the people around you are going to be the people that are going to try to hold you back the most.
So in the Bible, because y'all know I be talking, it says a prophet is not respected in his own town, right? They didn't even respect Jesus in his own town. Right, and he was the great prophet. You understand what I'm saying? So those be the main people those are the main people. But eventually, if you come out of that, right, they'll start to see, right. But it's you know, I always talk about the Willie Lynch letter. Like, they did us an injustice, you know. They really. If you go to Africa, right, from which we came, mm-hmm. If you go to Africa and you see how the unity of them, you would see the difference in what's going on. And then, you know what, it just hit me the other day. So when I go to Africa, to get from this country to the other continent, to African continent, is 11 hours on a plane. 11 hours from here to you while you're over the water. They were in a boat. How much longer do you think that? You remember
four and a half, 5 months.
They was throwing themselves. They was chained together. Some of them was throwing themselves. They was like, we don't know what's going on. They was throwing themselves off the boat, right? But think about what that feels like, and you're on a boat coming somewhere to a land you don't know with some people you don't know, and they done chained together. And then they came and then tortured us so that they can build economic wealth for their community.
Yeah, they stripped us down. They stripped us down for what we knew. They split us apart, the family, because we're about family. We're about culture. We're about our tribes. They broke that up.
Mm-hmm.
They literally broke us down to make us slaves. And that's what I think sometimes people miss heavily, is that we literally got broken in every way. It's just it's amazing.
You said in every way. Let me just go on, hit that point. I'm not trying to cut mm-hmm. you off, sis, but I heard you say in every way. And once we realize in every way we have been broken, and now you just, that was a physical bondage. Now it's a mental bondage in every way broken. And now it's now time to stand up and say, what could we do differently? And really, for real, hit that hard. If y'all listen to my podcast for my followers, you know, I've been saying we got to be ready to die for this. Not that I want to die. I do not want to listen. But we got to go so hard to our last breath. I said there is no modern day activist. We haven't pushed any movements since civil rights. That was a long time ago. These kids are doomed. These kids are doomed. My grandkids are doomed. Their kids are going to be doomed if we don't get up and change something right now. Something has to happen right now, and I'm so passionate about it. And so this is why people ask me, what's my passion? It's talking about social injustices, talking about my Black community and how we can build a legacy and a foundation for our kids. We don't even have insurance for us if we die. Our kids struggling to figure out how they gonna lay us to rest. You understand what I'm saying? We don't even do the things that have been set up, and then we won't even go get that knowledge. So I think it's time for us to do that. It's time for us to fix everything that was broken. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And it starts with just what we feed ourselves, to
exactly.
be honest with you. If you really want to break it down like that, that was something that, you know, I think that's what we share in common, is what I was trying to do when I have my not-for-profit for kids, is to, hey, let's start with the youth and actually grow these gardens in these poverty parks, rebuild the parks as gardens, and actually make herbs, vegetables,
yeah.
spinach, lettuce, and actually
yeah.
feed ourselves. Let's teach these young boys how to build houses, how to do plumbing, how to lay these tiles, how to lay the drywall. Let's teach these women how to actually make clothes. I mean, it sounds so old school, but it's really not, because the people that have the wealth are the ones over the things that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So if we get these resources and these tools and knowledge and education about what I'm talking about and build off of that, then that's how we grow our community. We rebuilding the Black Wall Street again.
I think I definitely agree with that. I also think that we need to take it a step further.
Yes.
I think us as people of color, we are some of the most intelligent people in the world. And we can't look backwards. We can't look at what happened to us, what had happened. We got to look at the opportunities that we have in front of us now. What I believe is that every Black person, with all the ideas that we have, we should all have an LLC. We should all have business bank accounts. Listen to me. Hear me out.
I could agree, sir.
Yes.
My fault.
Listen, it's a podcast. Right. We got to hear everybody's voice.
We talk.
But we should all have those things, because I don't care how many ideas you got. Put your ideas out there.
If there are no actions, yeah.
And there's action behind it, and there's a consistent process of paperwork behind it, then you start seeing success. Mm-hmm. What we want to do is we want to do everything sideways. We want to halfway think about something. We want to be like, oh, man, we want to find a hustle or come up.
Backhandedly.
Listen, the whole credence behind Shaken Enterprises was to have a huge entity, which is Shaken Enterprises LLC, and an umbrella of whatever we want to put under it. I don't care what it is. I have Shaken Enterprises is the LLC. I have Shaken Motorsport. We have Shaken Self-Care. We have Utopia Living. I have Shaken Logistics, which is a trucking company. And anything that I come up with is an opportunity.
Y'all sell so short in the introduction. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I know, right?
Listen. How do we know what we can support if y'all ain't letting us know what we can support?
Well, and again, my thing is, my wife was saying a little bit earlier, man, I'm really passionate about just educating us as a community to understand the wealth that we do have and the opportunities that we can take advantage of. I think that starts with understanding credit and money and finance. Once you understand that, and you understand that it's more about leverage and it's more about credit, and credit has nothing to do with the ability to get something that you can't afford right now.
Right.
But exactly. it's the opportunity to utilize somebody else's money to leverage your investment.
Exactly.
That's what they do all day long. My friend is a financial advisor at Bank of America, and she said, we were talking, and she said, do you have a credit card or anything with Bank of America? And I said, no, I don't really do all that. She said, do you know that's how they use their money? They use other people's money to create wealth for them. Why would you not do that, sis? And I was like, you know what, sis? Huh. I really ain't thought about that. I just thought about how I really don't want to be in any type of debt. However, you said something that I need to hit on real quick. I understand not focusing on what happened to us, but in order to start breaking down how to fix something, you have to know what happened and where stuff derives from. Like, for instance, we have a crab in a barrel mentality, right? Mm-hmm. So we won't freely give. We talked about networking. We won't freely network with people. We won't give them the information. We won't do any of that. But that came from somewhere. So I don't focus on it as far as negative and it's going to hold me down. I focus on it when I'm trying to talk to us so that we could be aware, so that we could do something different. Does that make sense?
Well, you got to understand this. So I agree, but I think there's a different path, right? Have you ever heard the concept, a baby doesn't know they're a baby?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I think we talked about this.
Yeah. So when I say that, you got to think of the community we're speaking to. If we try to break down a community that doesn't understand where they really are, like the people in the box, they don't understand they're in the dark, you'll never be able to turn that light on. So sometimes you just have to show. Sometimes and what I'm saying is, I'm not saying there's not value in going back and understanding why things are the way they are, but if you're trying to explain a situation to somebody who doesn't understand, they're patient.
But I think that you're. I guess let me explain myself a little bit. Well, we talk about this all the time. The leaders need to know what the issue is so that you can know how to execute a plan to fix that. Absolutely. I wouldn't go to the baby and be like, let me tell you what happened and this is how it is. What I would do is know that, and know that's that what's the limitation or the hindrance of them, and then execute a plan, which is what you're talking about. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
There is, I tell people all the time, like, the reason why we're so passionate about something, y'all so passionate about that, is because we're the leaders.
Absolutely.
And then what we do is make plans with our understanding and provide a solution to the problem. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So everything that I do, when I started Let's Go Sis, I said we have a issue between sisters sometimes, where instead of congratulating, we hating on each other. So let me create a place, and I don't talk about that a lot. I just create a place where in this place everybody's safe. Where this place, in this place, we're gonna uplift each other. We're gonna support each other. We're gonna break bread with each other. And no, I don't accept nothing less than that. There's gonna not be no disrespect. It's interesting because first of all, when I was growing up, my mama's favorite saying was right is right and wrong is wrong. So I'm always the moral one, right? And so I tell people all the time, they was like, how do you deal with this and this and this and that? I said, because I don't accept any of that. First of all, sis, listen, if I look at you and I see something I like and I don't have that, well, let me try to go up my game. Not, let me hate on her. Nobody got time for all of that. Because you did something different than, or you different than me, if that makes any sense. So the leaders, we're going to have to know the issues and then provide a service, which is what you're talking about with educating the Black community. I ain't even going to fix my lie, self the lie. I am all about educating the Black community. 100%. Now, if somebody else come, you know, I don't know that's how that's going to work. Our
community, I feel like we always feel like we have to help other people in order, like, it's nothing wrong, I guess, with helping other people. What I'm saying is, though, we so quick to help somebody else instead of our own.
Yeah.
And that bothers me sometimes.
Well, so I was telling somebody this. I said, they will go and they break bread with each other. They tell them, hey, these stocks, this, that. Remember when they was selling the stocks prematurely and it was illegal to do that, and they was knowing because somebody leaked information about what was about to happen?
Martha Stewart?
We won't even tell nobody nothing. Like, when I used to do nonprofit stuff, as far as, like, you know, this is just real, Christmas toy giveaway, right? We wouldn't go, we go out there, and it's nothing but none of us. We wanted to keep that to ourselves, like we was going to get less because of that, because we told to share some information. What's mine is mine, and you can't take it from me. But that, and there's enough.
What you were saying, though, that comes back to that slave mentality. That comes back to us being ripped.
House Negro feel, Negro.
That comes back to that, and knowing that it took so much for us to have a little bit of something that we held on to it, and we kept it close, and it was like, okay, we'll feed this person a little bit, and we'll feed, and that is still with us. That's part of the healing process, is that we got to recognize that it comes. Me and my husband was just talking about something earlier that's so funny about Louisiana and down south, mm-hmm. Black people, mm-hmm. and it's like different. East Coast, yeah, it's different.
Very different.
Down there, they really have that, because we know, right, us in this room know that it's enough resources and opportunity for everybody. If you really want it and go get it, you can. But the people that we're trying to educate and give this to don't really believe that. They believe it's only so much that we can get.
They limit themselves.
Yeah.
You know?
Listen, let me tell y'all something. If a shark is put in a fish tank, it only grows as big as the fish tank. Do y'all know how big sharks grow? When you throw a shark in the water, their habitat is the ocean. They be huge. We got to get ourselves out of these boxes, and we got to stop saying that we believe in God and we love God and we know this Bible and don't use it. He said you reap what you sow. Let me give you a perfect example. I was sitting in class one day. I had $100 in my pocket. My son had gave it to me for his phone bill. And as I was walking, I see, because we got to follow what the Holy Spirit, when he say do something, you do something. So I walked out and I looked at it on the bed, and I just put it in my pocket. So I'm in class that day, yada, 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 in class. And God said, the Holy Spirit said, give her this $100. I don't know why I'm giving it to her. So I gave it to her. So reaping what you sow. A couple weeks later, I had one of my clients say, "Hey, I'm gonna send you something in the mail. Give me your address." She doubled that. She sent me $200 for no reason. No reason, right? But the reason is, see, we don't understand that God will put stuff on people's heart if we do what he say. I have a nonprofit called About My Father's Business. So if we be about his business, he will make it about. I always tell people, if you chase God, you don't have to secure no bag. He'll secure the bag for you. I secure God, he secured a bag. I'll be hitting on the table. I think that we have to get this. I just be wanting to touch people and just give them all the knowledge, and they just take it right now. right? We do a lot of stuff, and we, like you said, you got to put the information in you, but do we apply the information after we put it? I didn't open up the Bible and say, let me just, I only believe it because I applied the stuff. People say the Bible's a real good book. It's more than a real good book. Whether, and people can have their own beliefs, right? But I know when I opened it and actually applied what it said, I don't even know how I be getting the things that I be getting. I don't even know how people, somebody called me one day and was like, hey, I heard that you was helping people with business and they referred me and you come highly recommended. Who are you? And who is this person you talking about? Because I don't even know that person's name. That ain't none of my business though. That ain't none of my business, right? I'm going to keep giving of myself and I'm going to keep talking about this and I'm going to keep networking like we've done. I'm going to keep trusting people to I'm going to trust God, right? That sends people. I'm going to believe in divine connections, you know, and I'm going to keep doing what I do and I'm not going to worry about nothing else.
Yeah.
That's interesting. My father, rest his soul, he just passed away a couple months ago. I was having a conversation with him and, I remember telling him that it's frustrating. You know, I've worked my, you know, they enamor in some of the things and some of the things they see, some of the things they see me do. And, you know, they want it, whatever that it thing is. And when I give them the opportunity and I try to put the opportunity out there, they don't put
forth the work. They just want it, right?
They just want it instantly. Mm-hmm. And I told my dad, I said, it gets frustrating because, you know, there are times that I be wanting to relax and enjoy somebody else's success, but they don't go and grasp it. So my dad told me, he was like, sometimes there are certain people that are out here to be the example.
Mm-hmm. And the leaders.
And I told him, I said, but it gets tough. He said, guess what? Only a select few get that opportunity. And he told me, keep going. And I asked him, what do you mean? He's like, keep going. Because they're watching you.
Yes.
They may find success their own way, not their own path, but it's up to you to keep going because if you don't go, they don't have an example.
And you know what's interesting is just confirmation because we you know, kindred souls, right?
Yeah.
So I used to, it do get hard. I'd be like, Holy Spirit, please give me some because I do so much,
yeah.
Right? And then I get frustrated a little bit and then you get tired and you, because I'm working from sun up to sundown. And I didn't even say sun up. Before the sun come up, after the sun go down.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? I'm always doing something. But you know, in those instances, it be people that you don't even know looking at you. Mm-hmm. This is why I keep a Facebook presence, a social media presence, because they'll say, you know what, you encourage me. I said, how? What did I do? I ain't even talked to you in a year. But they be like, I've been watching. And they only watching the little stuff that I post. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or so we have to keep going. We don't have a choice. We need to now, the only thing I think we need to take a step further is being the modern day activists that need to happen. We're doing all this successful stuff, but we need to spend a little more time, right? And I'm not really talking about you. I'm talking about the community. Let me talk about me. I need to spend a little more time on the educational part that'll help with my community, right? I need to spend, now I keep telling people I want to retire by I'm 50. What I mean by I want to retire and get in ministry as far as what we're talking about for my community. Right now I have a career, I help over here, but now I want to flip that and now let that money just make residual income. But now I want to be over here, right? Really teaching in our community, these kids. I have a goal of something called the Harriet Tubman Center, free the slaves. Right? And people will hate to hear it like that, but that's really what I want to do. Let's get free in here. Let's get free. Mm. Let's get free so that we can now, first of all, this, if we know that we were the Israelites, we would know that we're the tribe of Jacob, and we would know that this world is not going to change until we take, that's why they fight the black. It don't care. It doesn't matter what continent you're on. Black is fought all day, mm-hmm. all day long. In Africa, it's all black. However, they're in poverty. They're in so much poverty, they can't even think right. Because you can't be hungry, like literally starving, and think well and be successful. You understand? They still live in a dictatorship as far as their government systems. You understand what I'm saying? So it's time for us to stand up and you know, do this networking that we're doing. We don't even know each other, but we know each other,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we decided to come and say we gonna trust each other and break bread and do this thing. And our pastors, so our purpose is so similar. That's how God links people up.
100%.
Right? We didn't get to
two or more are caught.
We could chase 10,000. Listen, but we didn't get to the black, and so I'm gonna have to bring y'all back the black male and the female relationship, because we need each other. No matter what we say, I'm so tired. I don't need no man. Yes, you do, sis. Need, not want, not desire. You can want and desire, but you need them. There's nothing, I can't do nothing a man is supposed to do, and you can't do nothing a woman is, I mean, you can't do. Mm-hmm. The men can't do nothing. It was supposed to be cleaving together so we could say, you know, it's interesting because we've let the world tell us, interpret stuff for us, right? And it said, they say, well, the man is supposed to take care of the wife. And they think that means they supposed to pay all the bills and all that stuff. First of all, y'all must not have read Proverbs 31. Because she was doing, she was sewing clothes. She was going to get land. She was gardening. She was doing, and she said he was only blessed because she was blessed in her wisdom in the city gates. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. We do all this multiply. All you got to give is give me something so that I can multiply it. But if you give me nothing, I can't multiply anything. Right? Submission, sub under the mission. Give me a mission that I can get under, and we will carry that out, and we'll be marching together, linking arms. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? Mm-hmm. We cannot, you know? And so I think that we just, as the whole man, we have to figure out how to cater to the whole man and get our whole man in our mind. It starts with our mindsets, getting them together. But I will have y'all back, because we want to talk about, like, how can we start to heal those relationships? Real quick.
Man, let me just say this.
I knew it.
Let me just say this. I am 100% blessed that I have my soulmate, right? Like, God, this is all divine.
Don't be.
100%.
Listen, I don't need you to.
But what I will say is this.
Smear it in our face.
But what I will say this. The ratio of black men to women is scary.
It is.
And so, you know, one thing that us as women and as black men have to ask ourselves, are we really willing to build that bridge and work as a union? And what I mean by that, are we really willing to create that family dynamic? Meaning, if a black man have to have more than one wife, is the woman willing to look at that as not as a sexual jealousy thing, but
not
as
nothing,
a building
sis.
Thing.
No.
That's, I know. Listen, trust me.
That ain't even biblical, so we're not doing none of that. It ain't. No, because that's not what was happening. You got to look at the times. Y'all don't even do that.
Can I have a conversation?
No, sir. No, ma'am. No way. Go. We can have conversations. I'm not shutting y'all down.
So,
but that's not.
That's just something
but
that
y'all
I want
gonna
to
have
put
fun with that.
That's something that's being talked about really heavily right now. Just
need to come back and talk about
it.
But no.
Yeah, because listen, I don't want to share my husband. I'm not gonna lie.
But
to
what
you,
do you need that for? What do we need? Just so why?
So I'm blessed that, thank God, I'm blessed that I found my husband.
For
but
why?
Why?
I can answer.
It's an interesting.
I got it.
Why?
I got it. So I'm gonna keep it 200. If you understand what we've been through as a people and you understand our roots, community is everything. And
that's the only way to get community.
Listen to me.
I'm listening.
Men lie, women lie, emotions send everybody the fuck off, right? But numbers don't. The only way we're going to be able to build, because the ratio is 3-1. Is if we're able to take care of it. And when I say
that's not the only way we can build.
When I say
that,
I'm not saying it. Listen to what I'm saying.
Build what? The only way we can build community is to have more than one.
So,
that don't make sense.
So let me ask you a question.
No, he said the only way. I just want to. The only way.
Well,
because this is building community, and not without me being related to y'all in a husband wife situation, we're still building community.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
But you just told me the only way.
That's what I mean. It doesn't have to be sexual,
yeah,
right? Because sometimes we have to allow. Like, for example, Tamika, if you had an issue where it was around your house or you needed a car issue and I knew my husband can do those resources,
have to be his wife in order for that to happen. Is that what y'all started saying?
No. You don't have to be his wife for that to happen.
That's what you started saying.
I mean, you don't have to be his wife for that to happen. But what I'm saying is us women sometimes, that's a problem with us too. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's an insecurity.
Okay, so okay, now we coming in a different situation. I get that.
It's a little.
I believe that we should not. Like, I was just telling somebody that I was just dating. I said I have no problem with my friends coming to, if something happens and they need to come pick you up or the car break down, I could send my personal friends, because I have some really amazing friends. I could send them. Typically, I said women are, we be insecure, and men, we be insecure and we don't. don't share each other. Mm-hmm. So I can get with that.
Yeah.
I don't believe that I need to have another wife in my situation. In or as far as you said, not sexual, another wife, she don't need to be his wife. But
watch
I think
this.
That we have to
be. Let me say this. I got it.
I believe we can still be in community. Mm-hmm. And all we have to do is now start to trust each other, which they broke down. But all we, that doesn't have to be that I become, we have more than one wife.
Hold on.
Because I share of myself to anybody, and I will allow my husband to, and my
and that's the concept. Let me explain it to you. And that's actually, we've never had this exact conversation, but the fact that we think the same way is on the same path. But watch this. I'm gonna give you an example. So Tamika, I love you, right? That doesn't put my wife insecure. She doesn't feel anything less than that. Watch this.
I heard what you're going. Okay. Let's go.
So the concept of sharing me, meaning my resources, meaning my intellect, meaning my guidance, my love, my care, my effort, my strength, right? That doesn't take anything away from her at all.
That actually
strengthens the community.
Exactly.
So what I'm saying is this, that concept that my wife was talking about.
About if, two wives.
If not two, well,
that's what
guess
she
what?
Said.
So guess what? What's the difference between my wife and how I should respect and treat you as a woman and as a person in our community.
I don't think. See, this is the thing that y'all see. This because y'all don't know me. I think relationship has the same components, no matter what relationship it is. It's just what we do together in that relationship.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense? Yeah. So now that it's being explained a little bit more, I'm just stay on that point. You don't have to be my husband. I already know that about y'all. So I talk to you more than I talk to her, and I don't always put stuff in the group because I know that y'all respect me and know that I'm not going to do nothing backhanded. So I don't have to be like, let me call Shayna so that they could do. Nobody got time for that.
But there's no such thing as backhanded when there's love.
Exactly. No, but I'm talking. Exactly. Exactly. So the only thing that I was saying, I agree with all of those points around. I would agree. I was just having a conversation with somebody about how my family is like that. My mama raised us like that. So I was telling somebody that my sister's ex-husband will come to the house with his new wife or girlfriend or whatever she is and a baby. And we all, and they was like, that's weird. Did y'all do that? No, that's what it's supposed to be. Because just because the relationship failed does not mean that we stop loving each other.
Absolutely.
Relationship, you commit it, right? You committed, respect, being present in that moment, being there for each other, spending quality time. That the relationship is a relationship. We think when we say relationship, it means man and woman. Yep. And it does not. We're still in a relationship. And the components that I would give to my husband is the same. I remember one time I told my mama, well, I was preaching and I said, well, I was teaching a class and my mom was there. And I said, but I love you. I would do the same for you that I would do for my mama. She said, I don't like that. I said, I'm sorry you don't like that, mama. But that's what relationship is. If you need something from me, now there's a difference between y'all need it at the same time. Listen, now I might go do it for my mama first, right? Yeah. And I say might because it depends, right? However, I would do the same thing for somebody that I'm in a relationship with. Work, I always, y'all know I preach this at work, I say, y'all ain't even committed to this job.
Mm.
And this is a relationship.
Facts.
The relationship, nothing changes. So if we're talking about in that aspect, I got y'all.
Yep. Yeah. And the reason why I say more than one wife is because in our areas, our black men is sleeping with all these women, creating multiple baby mamas.
Okay.
And it's like, if we can just learn what relationship really is and what we really need that person for.
I would do that. We're not doing two wives.
You know what I mean? But there's some women out there in our areas.
And they have fun with that.
And so if y'all gonna do that, why fight? Why argue?
That's the truth.
The reason why you're gonna fight and argue, because that is not what you wanted to do.
But if they understood the relationship, they would do.
As a woman and as a man, like you said, I do not want to share. They don't want to share. Even the polyamorous relationships that I do know, the women, because they loved him so much, they just settled.
So
that's not usually, typically, it's not that I wanted to do that and that's what I want to do, because one woman that cleave together.
Let me ask a question. Oh, we only got a couple minutes.
No, keep on going. We good.
All right. Is it more productive to build or to argue?
That's irrelevant to my point.
No, no,
no. It's irrelevant to my point.
Can I make my point with
this? It's more. Well, you don't ask me because I. Of course, it's more productive. Like that's a no brainer.
But
that doesn't mean.
But let me ask a question. Sometimes, and if you think about our community, we put such a high esteem on sex.
I'm not even talking about sex.
But that's what it all is.
I'm talking about commitment. No, it ain't. If I'm married, this is not a sexual thing.
Well, let me ask you a question. These points? So if you were married and you had a husband, everything, he's cool to handle women amongst the community until it becomes sexual, right?
Because that's inappropriate.
Well,
that's not commitment because you're married. No, that's not loyal.
I'm not being an advocate for any specific type of relationship, nor am I trying
to
encourage a polyamorous.
We don't know the podcast, but we got to discuss it because that's a real thing that's happening right now.
But y'all what's not going to happen is I'm never going to agree with that.
I don't want you to agree with it, and I'm not going to, for myself.
Anybody do what they do. And as a minister, that's not what God meant. Hold up. Uh-huh. So what I'm not going to, we can have this conversation and maybe that'll work for people. I will share anything with anybody, right? Mm-hmm. In a committed relation, a marriage, we're not doing sexual stuff. Mm-hmm. You can go help Miss Johnson, put up her blinds. You can go pick her up, help her kid. You could do all of that because that's community.
Absolutely.
But what you're not going to do is be infidel and unloyal, and those are my standards. So even in a relationship, right, you talk about your expectations and your standards, right, and your boundaries. Mm-hmm. If people want to do that, I'm not advocating it because I don't believe it's right.
So this is what I'm gonna say. I agree with you 100%, right? Like, just for the record, we don't practice that. But what I'm saying is the community that we're trying to preach to and service and educate and pull up,
holding
them
back.
They have to understand those relationships because
it's broken already.
We're killing our babies.
But then we still don't
abortions and different things like that because our men.
Okay, y'all, we gotta go.
Yeah,
I love y'all. Now listen, because sometimes with the podcast, if we go too long, people stop listening and we get into the good stuff. Right. So we're gonna have to hit this stuff strong in the next one in the beginning. Right, so I don't want to cut nobody off. This was some good conversation.
We can talk about this off mic.
Yeah.
Listen, we're gonna go get something to eat. We're gonna talk about this next business. Y'all gonna be able to support, and we're gonna be able to bring financial stability to these families through these businesses that we're. You know, I do business coaching, y'all. Just in case y'all got to get at Tamika, your girl.
Yeah.
Because we want to bring financial stability, and hopefully through that, I see that we will start like helping other people start, whether it's this business, get involved with all that you got as mentorship, right? Because this is about community, and I do agree with that. So, y'all, listen, this is Let's Talk Sis. We got our brother on here. Listen, I'm going to have to change the name, though. No. Because I want to bring in more males and get the perspective of males in our communities. Brother, you're going to have to go and help, you know, these men, you know, come with some wisdom. You know, it's horrible that we don't have enough men that we need to get their perspective, and they're thinking out of trauma and they talk out of trauma. Mm-hmm. But anyway, this was some good conversation. Y'all, listen, we going to be on this piece. And we out.
Yeah.
We out.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, introduce yourself one more time so they know who y'all are and where they can find y'all. If y'all got anything that, like, y'all email or whatever, how can we find you?
I'm Shay. That's Ken. Shaken Enterprise, LLC. We do have an email. Social media presence coming very, very soon.
Ken Harris. I'm looking for anybody who's interested in understanding business, want to start an LLC, want to understand financial literacy and credit, anything like that, man. I'm trying to figure out a way to monetize my services and get it out to people. But reach me at shaken.enterprises.llc1@gmail.com. I promise you, if you reach out to me, man, I'll definitely set some time aside and try to help people, you know, just to start building just from, you know, from the ground up.
Say that email one more time.
That's shaken.enterprises.llc1@gmail.com.
No hashtag.
Well, hashtag Let's Talk Sis, and we out.